All right. Thank you, young ladies. I believe he's coming. Amen. Amen. I think you'll believe it more probably after you hear the message tonight. We are privileged again to have Brother Walt Shepherd with us from Cornerstone Baptist, Findlay, Ohio. Brought a great message this morning. And we tried to kind of move the song service a little faster to give him two or three extra minutes tonight. And Brother Walt, you come on. We're looking forward to it. And so glad you could be with us. Amen. We rescued him out of the snow up there and brought him down here in this Florida weather. Amen. Come on and speak to us. Just take over. I'm going to get down front where I can watch. Okay?
Okay, preacher. All right. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Revelation chapter 12. We're going to end up here tonight in Revelation 12. And I am not a tech guy, okay? So we got a lot of technology up here tonight, and we'll see how we can work through this. Revelation 12 is where we're going to go to tonight and try to help us navigate there. You're going to need to use your Bibles, and so we get a proper doctrinal understanding about this particular eschatology and this prophecy. Revelation 12, verse number 1, and the Bible says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them into the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was called up unto God into his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, where they should feed her there 1,260 days." Skip down, if you would, to verse number 14. And verse 13 says, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast under the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And the woman was given to wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent." And you pray with me and for me tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of speaking to your people again tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we've been privileged to live in the days that we're living in, to see what we see, to hear what we hear, to be able to sing the songs that we sang tonight about the trumpet, listening for the trumpet, thinking about the return of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that the church has been gathered tonight, and we pray that we be encouraged, Lord, to occupy till you come. So bless the time that we have tonight. Help us be good stewards of it, and we'll give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if you would, we're going to be here tonight, but let me go ahead and have you get back to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to be moving around a little bit tonight, and you'll see why. But while you're going there, some preliminary thoughts. Because maybe you're here tonight and say, "Pastor, he's going to be setting some dates tonight." And of course, I'm not. I'm not a date setter, but I am, admittedly, a date watcher. And I like watching dates. Of course, I've been trained under one of the best prophecy teachers that there is, Brother Carter. And that's what got me fired up about prophecy and brought me out of the far country. And God was good to me in my life, of course, my family. But we're not date setters. We never have been, but we are date watchers. 2017 and 2018 are very significant years, very significant years. You'll find in the Bible several numbers that have great significance. The number 70, for example, is an incredible number, one that you can study throughout the scripture. You'll find also the number 100 or 120 or 150 or the number 50, which would be the year of Jubilee. Now, quickly, because I think there's a lot of things converging on 2017 and 2018 that would at least alarm us to understand where we are in eschatology. One of those is the year of Jubilee. Someone asked preacher a couple weeks ago, when is the year of Jubilee? Of course, we don't know when the year of Jubilee is. Any prophet or any preacher, rather, would try to explain we are in the year of Jubilee would be a guess at best. We don't know. However, some very interesting things have happened in 1917 and 1967. If you just reverse the clock back 100 years to Israel, and you'll remember the Balfour Declaration. And the Balfour Declaration, of course, under Great Britain, they basically agreed to legally recognize Israel to be able to go back and freely live inside that land, seizing the land from the Ottoman Turks, which, by the way, occupied the whole Israeli nation of Israel and Palestine for the last 400 years, which would be 8 jubilees. Very interesting. You can check all this out. 1517 is when the Ottoman Turks came in, and they had control of that whole region for 400 years, of course, until the Balfour Declaration, and then the Jews were able to go back into the land and legally live there. What's interesting is that General Allenby, some of you know the story, General Allenby, when he flew his planes in there and dropped leaflets out of these double-winged airplanes. This is 1917, remember. And these Muslims were out there looking at these planes going over and these leaflets dropping out of the sky. And the way that General Allenby's name is spelled in Arabic, because it was signed, "Get out of Jerusalem, General Allenby," it looked like Allah. It's spelled almost exactly like Allah. And you can read the history books. He walked into Jerusalem without a shot ever being fired. 1917. And so you fast forward a jubilee, which is 50 years, to 1967, a very significant time. The Six-Day War, of course, the first time, June 7th, 1967, it was a Wednesday, that the Jews, for the first time in 2,000 years, were able to go into the western side of the Temple Wall and put their hands, walking up the steps of the old temple where the Solomon's temple was and Herod's temple then. But first time they were able to freely go there was Wednesday, June 7th, 1967, 50 years or one jubilee after 1917. So you add another 50 years to 1967, you're coming right into 2017, this year, a 50-year jubilee. Again, we don't know when the jubilee year is. However, it is very interesting that these last three jubilees have been significant with the nation of Israel. Very interesting. Note also that, and you can read this, you can study this, if you count 40 jubilees, back, you'll come to the time of Christ. 40 jubilees times 50 is 2,000 years. I'm going to give you a lot tonight, so just kind of, if you want to take notes or get the tape, you can do it later. If you count back from tonight, 70 jubilees, you'll come to the very time, 3,500 years ago, when Moses received the Ten Commandments from God. That's 70 jubilees ago. 40 jubilees take you back to the time of Christ. Interestingly, over there in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You'll find that there's a possible prophecy of 120 years or 120 years of jubilees. And that was, listen to this, 120 years in jubilee years or 50-year cycles would take you back to creation. All right. So again, 2017 is if it's a year of jubilee, it's a significant year because, again, we have converging on 2017 and 2018, a possible jubilee year. And you have 40 years from Christ. You have 40 jubilees from Christ, 70 years from Moses to jubilee years and 120 jubilee years from the time of creation to tonight. And so another very interesting thought is in Matthew chapter 24. If you're there, pick it up in verse number 32. The Bible says here, verse 32, "Now learn the parable of the fig tree." okay? When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. Of course, we have several biblical references to what verse 32 is. It is the nation of Israel coming back together, the nation of Israel being reborn, if you would. Verse 33. And so likewise, ye, when ye shall see these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. And so, when you see the rebirth or the rebudding of the fig tree, the parable of the fig tree, when that branch is tender and it's born, when it's coming back, by the way, the first time in 2,000 years, the first time in human history that a nation was ever reborn was that very interesting nation, the nation of Israel. It's never happened before. When you have a nation that's gone out of existence, it does not come back into existence. The nation of Israel is the exception to that rule. How many understand? The Bible might just be true, okay? It could be a coincidence, but it could be true. Are y'all here? And so tonight you look at this May 14th, 1948, the first time that the world community looked at the nation of Israel, recognizing her as a nation. That was the putting forth of the leaves, a very tender branch. He says, when you see that happening, know that summer is nigh. It's getting close. One rabbi said in 1967 that we have just entered into the age of Messiah. Very interesting, as they even recognize that. But look at verse 34. Verily I say unto you, watch this. This generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. How many were alive prior to 1948? Would you raise your hand, okay? Now, according to the scripture tonight, your generation will not pass till these things. I mean, that's exciting to me. So we're waiting for you to go. So please hurry, okay? So 1948, significant year. This generation is not going to pass till these things be fulfilled. A very interesting thought is, well, what is a generation? Now, we can go through all kinds of numbers, run them all, but a very interesting Psalm chapter 90 and verse number 10, for the days of our years are 70 and 10. 70, of course, being 60 and plus another 10 is 70. So if you look at that verse alone, you probably have 70 years or one generation, by reason of strength, another 10. But add 70 years to 1948, you're coming into 2018. Okay? How many would say that's interesting? All right. So when the Bible is very clear, and you can study all the feasts of Israel, but remember the feast of Passover. Jesus Christ died on the very day of the feast of the Passover. You can study this. He died fulfilling one of the feasts. When he was buried on the feast of unleavened bread. When he rose again, he fulfilled the feast of first fruits on the very day, first fruits. You remember the Feast of Weeks, the Pentecost, 49 weeks plus one day, when the power of God came down on the church, amen, that was fulfilled 2,000 years ago, all right? So if the Lord follows the same pattern, there are three feasts yet to be fulfilled. Those are what we call fall feasts. There's three of them. One of those feasts is a feast of the trumpets. Listen to the trumpet. Listen for the trumpet, right? So if the Lord comes back, what we believe as Bible studiers and ones that study this is that when he comes back, he will come back on or around the feast of the trumpets. I believe that. We're looking and listening for the last trump, and I praise God that we're still listening for that. But it is possible that when he comes back, it'll be on or around the Feast of the Trumpets, the Day of Atonement. I asked a Jew one time, I said, what does the Feast of the Trumpets mean to you? He says, oh man, we all get right with each other. We pay our bills off. I said, why are you doing that? Why do you want to get right? What's the Feast of the Trumpets? What's that do? Well, when the Feast of the Trumpets, when we observe it as Jews, we're waiting and trying to get right because Judgment Day is coming. I said, when is Judgment Day? He says, the Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. So we want to get right before Judgment Day. So an unsaved Jew, y'all with me? Unsaved Jew understands the Old Testament, but you understand the significance of that in the New Testament. When we as God's people are waiting for the trumpet to sound, and then judgment is coming on the nations of this world. That's another fall feast. The third fall feast is the Feast of Tabernacles. Of course, the fulfilling of that would be the 1,000-year millennial reign. Okay, so all this is interesting. So let's just think about it here. We've got some things that are converging in 2017, 2018. You got the Jubilees that are coming together. You got the generation from 1948, adding 70 years to that, you come into 2018. You've got the possibility of the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilling one of those feasts in sometime in the fall, specifically on the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah. Now, if you would, go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. How many are doing okay? All right, let's see if we can dig into this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 6. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 6. Watch what it says here. Now, by the way, if you're tonight here, how many Jewish believers do we have here tonight? Would you raise your hand? If you are a Jew and you're a believer tonight, would you raise your hand? Okay, we have one come out of this church that we support over there in Israel, great man of God. We all agree we're all Gentile believers, right? Okay. All right, so tonight, as Gentiles, understand tonight that we are walking by faith, not by sight, right? Bible says in verse number 6, therefore we are always confident knowing that once we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Watch the phrase in verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So in other words, we don't have to see to believe. We don't have to see to believe. Okay? And so we're not seeking after signs for the purpose of believing. We're not doing that tonight. But yet we do have signs. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians 1, just if you would, make a left there. Go back to 1 Corinthians 1. Pick it up in verse number 21. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Watch it. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the what? Require a sign. And the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Greeks a stumbling block, but unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Note here, if you could pull out of the scripture, understand that the Jews require a sign. The Gentiles walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, we don't have to believe. We don't have to see something, some sign, in order to agree to believe. We believe, and of course, we're given signs. Now, the Jews are going from, and the reason for that, the Jews are going from light to darkness. And we're going, as Gentiles, from darkness to light. And there's going to be a day when the Jews are going to come back to the light. And so the Jews could not believe by faith alone. It's a stumbling block. Christ became a stumbling block to them. I was in Israel one time, just outside of the Temple Institute. I talked to some of the rabbis there and some of the leading rabbis that are putting the Temple Institute together. I shared that with you back in 2007 and 2008. But as I was sitting next door, one of the rabbis was speaking to a bunch of college students, and they said, he said to the college students, he said, you Christians, we Jews do not believe in Christ. And there's a reason for that. It's too simple. You make religion very simple. You believe in a resurrection. And whether or not, here's what he said, the resurrection took place, to us is irrelevant. Because in Israel, there's been all kinds of resurrections. So I'm in the back row. Sir? And he says, yeah, in the back row. I said, okay, I understand that. There's been several resurrections. You've got the Valley of Dry Bones. I mean, you've got all kinds. You've got a lot of resurrections. I said, but has there ever been a person in the Torah that ever said that he would come back from the grave? To that he said, no. But I don't believe, he said. So the Jews are requiring a sign to believe. They're seeking after signs for the purpose of believing. And the Bible is absolutely clear that that is wrong. So when the preacher preaches about a sign coming, it's not for us to believe. It's for us to be confirmed, if you would, or have a reassurance of our faith. But it's not for us to believe in Christ. The Jews need a sign to believe. The Gentiles look for signs because they believe. Okay? So signs become a problem when they're required for belief. And Israel required that. In fact, you'll find because of time, Matthew 16, verse number 3, "O ye hypocrites," here's what he says to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Here's what he said in chapter 16 of Matthew, verse 3. "O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times?" So he's rebuking them. You can understand the weather. You can understand the sky, and you can discern that, but you can't discern the signs of the time. And so we tonight are living with ample signs that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. The increase of knowledge, Daniel 12:4. End time signs, the ability to enforce the mark of the beast, Revelation 13 and verse number 7. The signs of the time of violence and sexual immorality, Matthew 24, verse 37, Luke 17, verse 28 through 30. Signs of the times and the rise of spiritualism, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 1. Mass animal deaths. I heard another one today. Again, Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 3. Natural disasters. Watching what's happening in California with the flooding, Luke 21, verse 25 through 26. Over and over again, unsealed prophecies and signs of the times with war and rumors of war, Christians turning away from truth, getting cold with the things of God, getting indifferent to what God would have them do. I was talking to preach a few minutes ago, getting people to come back on a Sunday night. You know, you can, it's like pulling teeth sometimes, man. Don't look down. I'm not done preaching yet, all right? I appreciate you being here tonight, but listen, every time the doors open, you ought to be in church. Yeah. Every time the doors open, you make sure your body is inside that pew and your ears are open, your heart is open to hear the word of God. Why? Because where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Yeah. Lord, see, so as one lady said to me after church one day, she said, "I feel like I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus when you preach." You don't come to church on Sunday night, right? Said, "Guess what? I'll be preaching tonight." "Oh, I got a club tonight I got to go to, preacher." Oh, yeah. Listen, we have a great falling away. Fight against that. Don't get cold. You know what's encouraging to me? When I come here and preacher's hairdo hasn't changed. I'm telling you, man, I love it. I do, man. He drives the same car, parks in the same parking place, has the same tie he had on 4 years ago, I think. Why? He's not changing. I love it. Tell my wife, it's great. I'm getting off a real rabbit trail here. All right, now watch this. Luke 21, watch this, Luke 21. Here is, Luke 21 says this. Luke 21, Matthew 24 are synonymous. They're talking about the same events. But verse 7 says, "And they asked him, saying," Luke 21, "Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign," watch this, "will there be when these things shall come to pass?" All right, so he's speaking about the destruction of Jerusalem, speaking about what is going to happen. And he said, "Take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, go ye not after, therefore after them." Keep your finger there and go to Matthew chapter 24. Again, another question that is asked here about a sign. Matthew 24 and verse number 3. Matthew 24, 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, watch this, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy what? Coming and the end of the world. And so here are the disciples, wisely, they're asking for a sign. They already believe, they're the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They already believe in him. But they're asking now for a sign of his coming. When shall these things be? They're requesting that. So he begins to give them these signs. Look back in Luke chapter 21. I ask you to keep your finger there. Pick it up in verse number 8, or rather verse number 9. Of course, verse 9 says, when you shall hear wars, commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then he said to them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Watch verse 11. And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights. Now watch this phrase. And great signs shall there be from where? Now please note, the word great is used to describe signs from where? Heaven. Great signs. Great signs. Pick it up in verse number 20. A lot here, but verse 20 says, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Of course, verse 25, it says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Note, again, he said that there's going to be great signs in heaven. Then he says, these signs are going to be in the sun, in the moon, and in the what? Stars. So three, if you would, heavenly bodies would be the component of a great sign in heaven. Then, of course, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the wave roaring. Okay? So now we have to evaluate what are signs. We know that we can look for signs, not to believe, but because we already do believe. We understand that. We've been preaching that for years. We also know that the disciples asked for a sign. And he had no problem giving disciples signs. And he says, what's going to be a sign? He says, it's going to be a great sign in heaven. He says, it's going to be sun, moon, and stars. Those three parts of that component from the signs in heaven. Now look back in Genesis. Keep your finger here in the New Testament. Go all the way back to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. See if I can keep my computer on here. All right, Genesis chapter 1. And look in verse number 13. The Bible says, and in the evening and in the what? Morning were the third day, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the what? Heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them, what? The firmament, the heaven, watch this, the lights. Let them be for what? Signs. For seasons and for days and for years. And so God says, I'm going to create everything that you see, as we said this morning, for the purpose of one of the purposes is for signs. And you'll be able to do it for seasons and days and years. You'll be able to count the years, count the seasons, and count the days. But I'm going to also give it to you for the purpose of signs. Now you look in Genesis chapter 3, and you go all the Genesis chapter 3 and go all the way to the New Testament, you'll find it's connecting. It's okay. He gave it for signs, and he says there's going to be signs in the last days. Now look in Isaiah chapter number 48. I mentioned this morning, but let me just say again, this is a mathematical impossibility unless God did this. Note that when God created everything, he created everything in motion. I mean, the heavens right now, the orbits, the planets, they're going around in their orbits. Everything's kind of moving at its own orbit, right? He set that in motion. And it's kind of calculated. It's working, if you would. It's doing what it's supposed to do. And God did this all in just a span of his hand. He says in verse number 13, mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. So God, I said this morning, I spoke it into existence and they stand up together. So now they're kind of moving out there. So you got Neptune, you got Pluto, you got the sun, you got the moon, you got the stars. They're all kind of doing their own thing up there. Okay? As God said. Now, I'm not going to get into this all tonight, but you can go through the word stars in the Bible, moon in the Bible. God, the Bible says, has ordained them. He says there that when I consider the heavens, as I said this morning, the work of thy hands, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained. He set them all in motion. He has named the stars. Named them all. You can find them in the Bible. So, Pastor, you're getting way too close to worshiping the stars. No, no, no. Let's just quickly say this. Those that go into this to worship these bodies are committing a sin. That's astrology. That's wrong. Astronomy is the study of stars. It's the study of where they're moving. That's science. When they become your, if you would, guide, that's condemned in the Bible clearly. 2 Kings 23, Micah chapter 5, and on and on. So, got all that laid down. Now get to the book of Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to show you something incredibly powerful. Revelation 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Now I want you to note here, the Bible says a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, of course, we Bible students have looked at this, and we believe it has been fulfilled. The woman, of course, we understand is the woman Israel, and God chose the nation of Israel to bring forth, as you look in verse 2, and being with child, cried, travailing, in birth, and pain to be delivered. Okay, so we have now the child. We assume that is the Christ child. We know that because when verse 5 comes, you'll find she brought forth the man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. That is none other than Jesus Christ. So we understand that the one that brought forth that child is a woman, and it was from Israel, the nation of Israel, and she being great with child, and she, of course, travailed, and her child, when it was born, was called up to God into his throne. Let's not confuse this, okay? And so here we have is this supernatural prediction of what was going to take place. Israel, the child, the Christ child. The crucifixion is not all mentioned here, but he's called up to his throne. Verse 3 says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and the 7 crowns upon his head. Now watch verse 4. And his tail, whose tail? The dragon's tail, drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. We take that and say, okay, that was fulfilled. Herod tried to kill the child as soon as he was born. Of course, we have a reference to the pre-eternity where you have rather pre-creation, where you have a reference to the third part of the stars or the demons or fallen angels coming down. Here, okay, all that is clear eschatology, things that we have understood and has been fulfilled. And you'll find in verse number 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now we have a very interesting verse, verse 6. Verse 6 does fit into this, but doesn't fit chronology, in the chronological order. In other words, when we get to verse number 6, we're dealing, when you see the 1,260 days, you're dealing with the tribulation period there, okay? So then you have to look at this and say, now do we take the first part of this? No, all that has been fulfilled, but now we have something else coming in. Now we have a reference to a tribulation period. If you look down further, in, you'll find that there's another reference in verse number 13, 14. It says, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. This is a reference to the nation of Israel, where she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time. That's 1 year. Okay. And times, it's plural, that's at least two. And then it says, and a half a time, that's a half a year. So we look at this, and so there's another reference to a 3.5 year period of time, or 1,260 days. So when you get to verse number 6 and verse number 14, now we're dealing with tribulation stuff. Prior to that, we're dealing with the first advent of Christ, Jesus Christ coming, born of a virgin, called up to his throne. The woman is running into the wilderness where she has that place prepared for her. Now, this could be very interesting because there could be a dual fulfillment of this. In other words, when you look at the Bible, there's several prophecies that have dual fulfillments. You go to Babylon. Babylon has already been destroyed, but there's another Babylon that's going to be destroyed in Jeremiah 50 and 51. You can go through this and see this. And so this is not contained to what has happened, but what can likely be yet to come. Okay? Now, when the disciple says, okay, Lord, can you tell us the signs? He said, okay, there'll be great signs in heaven. Look, if you would, back in Revelation here. Watch this word here, verse 1. And there appeared a great what? Wonder. Okay? In where? In heaven. Okay. So, again, another reference to this this heavenly body, if you would, that is going to come together. And it's going to show or picture what is going to come. Jesus asked by the disciples, when's the sign of thy coming? What's the end of the world? He says, when you see these signs, they're going to be great signs. There'll be sun, moon, and stars in these signs. So then what does that mean for us? I want you to note here, what I'm showing you, can you get that up there, my brother? I want to show you something very interesting. What I did is this is not something that I found. This is stuff that's starting to be evaluated and looked at by Bible scholars. But what we have here is a program that NASA uses. This program is able to compute the movement of every planet that we can observe from our telescopes, okay? And able to mathematically predict where they're going to be. And if they stayed on the same orbit, they can actually reverse that, and you can go back thousands of years, if you like, and see what the skies look like from Jerusalem on a certain day. You could do that with this program. They can also predict the future movement of the planets based on their trajectory and where they're going to go. So right behind me, if you can maybe get these lights here, my brother, and these lights, and I'm going to be good from the illumination. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you something interesting. There's only one constellation that has been recognized since 2000 BC as a woman constellation. And the name of that woman is Virgo. Okay? And Virgo, of course, it was worshipped by the Babylonians, but it's been understood humanly that she's a woman. Now, this program allows you to add artwork, and so what I've done here is I've added the lines or the quadrant of stars. You can't see those. Let me see if I have my pink laser that I got from my aunt. This is great. All right, little mouse. Isn't that cool? All right, so all these lines are here. You can't see that, but I want to put the artwork in there. You'll be able to understand where we're at, okay? So here is... this is Virgo, all right? A woman, okay? Right here, these four stars make up the quadrant of what we would assume to be the womb of Virgo, okay? And so, of course, her head up here, and then her feet down here, her left leg, and, of course, her right leg. So this is, of course, Virgo. Now, what's interesting about this is that we understand that there is a quadrant of stars that make up her womb. I want you to note here, I'm going to just kind of move it over a little bit and look above her head. Above her head is the constellation Leo. And you count here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. There's 9 stars that make up Leo, and Regulus, of course, being a king star. What you find right here is the planet Jupiter. Jupiter is the king of king planets, is the king of gods, or the god of gods planets. You can look it up and you can see it on a definition from what they would describe Jupiter to be. Okay, so we're going to fast forward this. What I'm going to do is I'm going to move it here again, and I'm going to come into the date. And I'm going to show you what is going to come with this particular constellation. Down here, we have the date, time, and this is moving right now. That means this here, all these stars, you'll find maybe see a satellite going through once in a while. It's because it's actually computing the movement of these stars. So what I'm going to do right now, it's the second month of 2016. This is what the constellation Virgo looked like. Above her head, we have Leo, which is nine stars. Jupiter now moving its way down into this quadrant of stars would make up her womb. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to advance this. Let me back up here, hold up, and move this up a little bit. And I'm going to lock this so it doesn't move on me. Okay, here we go. Let me get this back out of the way. Okay, this is the February. All right, fifth month. Okay, if you note here, 16, 17, 18, 9th, here we go. The 11th month of 2016, okay, November 11th, if you note where Jupiter is now, Jupiter, of course, the king planet, moving in to this quadrant of stars here that's going to make up the womb of Virgo. Now, interestingly, as you slow it down a little bit, and we're going to start adding some days here, you know where, note here, now I'm actually, at the bottom here, each one of these is a day, 28th, 29th, 30th, okay? So now, I want you to know what Jupiter does. I'm adding days. It stops right there. Okay, I'm adding days. I'm now onto the February. Okay, we're about where we're at right now. Jupiter stopped. Jupiter went down to the bottom of the quadrant of stars, and now it's moving back up into her womb. This is called retrograde motion. It doesn't happen often. But Jupiter now, right now, if you go out there and you can find Virgo, you'll find Jupiter in the center of her womb, and it's been there since November 30th. Okay, so it's in there, just kind of hanging out, if you would. Let's continue fast-forwarding this. Jupiter staying there, it's retrograde motion, she's staying there. We think sometimes the stars just kind of go around like this. It doesn't happen that way. Some go like this, and then go, and go like this, and then go. And so it's retrograde. It's kind of interesting the way they move. But let's move forward here. And now we're in April. We're in 2017, April. Jupiter's coming back up, if you note here, coming into the edge of that quadrant. And then you'll note here, she's still has Jupiter inside her womb. Okay? Now, I'm going to stop right there because now we're in the eighth month of 2017. All right, so we have an issue here. If the prophecy in Revelation chapter 12, you'll find that there's a woman that's with child. Jupiter, the king planet, okay, if you look at the prophecy, could be that child, all right, or a sign inside there. But we have a problem. We have to have the moon under her feet. We've got to have Leo up here. Oh, wait, we got Mercury here. We got nine stars, 10. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now we have 10 stars. We still need two more stars or two more. The Bible doesn't use planets, so it uses stars to describe those, okay? So we have a Mercury up there. We still need a sun to come down. Watch how this comes together. I'm still going to fast forward it through just days, all right? Let me lock it down again. She wants to move on me. All right. Okay, now here. All right. Jupiter's still in her womb. I'm going to continue going into 9, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 9-11, if you note, there is a line that goes from this Spica to this star here. Jupiter breaks that plane on 9-11 of this year. So right now, if you could say it this way, she is now giving birth to Jupiter. Okay? Now, interesting, this doesn't happen. Jupiter does not go into her womb, but for 144 years, Jupiter will come into that womb and stay there for that little nine-month period of time and then go out. 42 weeks, Jupiter stays in that womb. Now, that happens every 144 years. So it's not that rare, but it is rare for that to happen. It gets more interesting. If you continue adding the days to it, 12th, 13th, 14th, now you have the sun coming in. 20th, this is the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, okay? Feast of the Trumpets. 21st and 22nd in Israel, you have the Feast of the Trumpets. This is when the Feast of the Trumpets takes place. This is not filled, this has not come together yet. We have now the moon coming in. We have Jupiter now out of the quadrant of stars that make up her womb. The sun is coming up over her shoulder. Okay? Now let me kind of look up there and see what's happening with poor Leo. Wow. Now we have Mercury, Mars, Venus, and all the stars of Leo make up 12 stars. 12 stars are on her head. Now that's wild. All right, so let's see if this thing comes together and when it does. Are y'all here? This is wild stuff, folks. Lock it down again. I'm going to the 22nd, the 23rd. The 23rd, September 23rd, 2017, 4 a.m. Now I'm moving till the moon has got to be under her feet. There it is. So 2100 hours on September 23rd, 2017. Let's look at this here now. This here, the moon is under her feet. Jupiter has now come out of the womb. We've got 12 stars above her head. We've got the sun that's clothing her. It's over her shoulder. Say, Pastor, when does this happen? How often does this happen? This is where it gets crazy. You would have to you have to back that up to 3914 BC. That's the only other time in human history that that's happened. This is math. You add 3914 BC and 2017. Take the one out because we have no zero year. That puts you at 530 years. You transfer that from the Gregorian calendar, the calendar we operate on, to the Jewish calendar. That's 6,000 years ago, 6,012 years ago. So, point being is that this happened one time at the beginning of creation, and it's happening again on September 23rd of this year. That, to me, is absolutely incredible. So when you think about this, put all this together. Here's the woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, the 12 stars in her head, over her head. You have the Jupiter King planet that's also mentioned here. You have these three planets that come together, Mercury, Mars, Venus, making up the 12 stars, the sun over her shoulder. The people that put this stuff together and mathematically think, what's the chances of the Bible being as specific as it can be on this particular, it is off the charts on the chances of it happening. And so another interesting, side comet here is coming through on the same day. It'll be passing under her feet. The European Space Program has already landed a probe on this thing. It's going to be passing under her feet. The name of that comet is Comet 67. 1967. It's crazy stuff. We're living in some strange. The Cubs won the World Series this year. You don't get that. Y'all with me? It's crazy. Trump. What kind of name is Trump? And then he gets a vice president called Pence. Trump Pence. Trumpet. Are y'all here? I mean, is these are weird days or strange days or what? You don't make this stuff up. Great, great days to be alive. Great days to be alive. And it happens the very day after the Feast of Trumpets. So, Pastor, what does it mean? Now, this is where I have a stop sign. I don't know. Anyone that says September 23rd will fulfill Revelation chapter 12 has gone beyond the stop sign. I don't know. Whether anything happens or not, I'm still serving Jesus Christ on the 24th of September. It makes no difference to me. But I will say that what is happening here is so rare that it deserves attention. It deserves attention. And I think tonight, you know, we can be paralyzed and think that the Lord's never coming back. But if he does come back, we believe that he could come back on the Feast of the Trumpets, which would be the 23rd and 24th possibly. We don't know the day or hour. We don't know that. But we know the season. If he comes back, something else happened. By the way, this is to the Jew. This particular sign is to the Jew. And if I remembered how to do it, when you clothe something, you cover it, right? This happens in the daytime. You wouldn't see this. I could put the if I knew how to do it, how to put the sun out, but I can't figure this program out. Brother Carter probably could do it, not me. But you wouldn't see this. All this will be clothed in the sun. This particular, if you would, if it's a sign, would not be possible to see unless you had the ability through technology to see this. And God can know all that. Listen, all this was thrown into existence, and all these stars are just kind of flying around there, and they're all just kind of doing their thing, and they all come together in just a few months away. We could be a few months away from the return of Jesus Christ. We could be. With heads bowed and eyes closed, preacher, I'll turn it back over to you. I'm finished, and we'll ask the Lord to bless you.